Hello, Marquette basketball fans. Let me hear you. Welcome to a special live edition of the Golden Break. We are so excited to bring this podcast to the greatest fans in college basketball. We got to do a couple of quick thank yous. Thank you to the production staff, Mike Keegan, Jeff Gibellina, and Matt Mikus. This pod does not go without their help. Uncle Bucks, thank you for hosting us. Friends and family who all came out here to support. My wife, thank you. I don't get to do this without your permission, like most things in life. We brought a sound engineer here in Kevin, and who we all really came here for. We want to say a big thank you to Tyler Kolick and Travis Diener. So, Travis, let me start with you. It's been a little bit since you and I have talked, and I want to take a 10,000-foot view of this team. We started off 9-1, real hot, had a little bit of a lull against UCLA, Wisconsin, got hot again, and now we're struggling. Based on where this team was coming in, the fifth youngest team in the country, I believe, brand new coach, is this beyond your expectations?
Well, the point guard play stinks, but... No, it's been a as an alum and a former player, it's been really exciting because I think this team represents and plays with a competitiveness, a togetherness that represents the good teams that have played at Marquette. Obviously, it's a long season, so you're going to go through, you know, peaks and valleys. Obviously, some big wins early, some losses against really good teams, and now in Big East play, started off hot, maybe last few weeks. Not as good, but you know, ultimately, for this team, you want to play the best basketball in March. And today was an important step. Wasn't pretty, but at the end of the day, you're trying to just stack up wins, and that's what we did today. And we have two more regular season games, and then the Big East tournament, and then, you know, what everyone's excited for is Marquette, you know, back in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. Tyler, let's talk about some of that roller coaster this year. I mean, you guys have been super hot. You've had some rough patches. What makes this team so special to kind of get through those ups and downs?
Yeah, I mean, I just think we play together and, you know, play with the connectivity. I mean, the whole year has been up and down for, you know, not just the team, but every player, including myself, including, you know, our go-to guys, Justin, Daryl, you know. So, I mean, we're going to have peaks and valleys, but, you know, like he said, you just want to be playing your best basketball going into the Big East tournament and going into March.
Absolutely. So let's talk about today's game. I thought on the screen and roll, especially in the first half of this game, the roller's been more open, I feel like, in some of the past games. What did you see Butler giving you today off the screen?
Yeah, so they kind of started going over the screen on me, and then they kind of changed their coverage a little bit, started going under the screen. I mean, it's really hard because they help off the low man. So, you know, we normally hit the corner guy or the big, but we weren't really making shots today, so that was a big part of it. They kind of stay home, and they didn't really have to help off anybody.
Well, you know, Creighton did a really great job of staying home on their screen and roll, too, and that can make it hard when you drop a big, you're covering the guys out on the arc. What are some things? They're giving you that shot. I know they're giving you that floater. I know you like the floater. Last time we talked,
I like the floater.
It's a
like
shot you're feeling. How are you feeling about scoring at the basket? How are you feeling about that game as you're getting to the paint?
No, yeah, this year has definitely been a learning experience. I mean, just trying to find different ways to score. Because, you know, last year I was more so off the ball, more so, you know, catch and shoot, just a kind of a scoring mentality. So I kind of got to get that good blend of scoring and passing mentality because, you know, it's hard when you're going down there and all you think is pass or all you think is score, and you make the wrong play most of the time. So you kind of got to have that unique blend of both.
For sure. Travis, let me ask you this. In your days as a point guard, getting to the hoop, you guys are both a little undersized. No offense. I hope you guys didn't take that personally.
I'm a little bigger than him. Come on now.
Is that true? How tall are you guys? Don't lie, Travis.
6'1".
On the sheet, 6'1". I'm saying, yeah, they say 6'3" for me. I'm probably 6'2".
He's taller.
So, but Travis, talk to me about developing a game at the hoop when you're young in college basketball, like learning to use your body. What are some things you did to kind of help you feel more comfortable at the basket?
Well, to be honest, you know, one of the regrets I have, I never felt I was a great layup shooter finishing around the hoop. When I got in there, similar to what Tyler does now, you know, always looking to pass and kick out. So I was always, because of my size, because of my, you know, maybe I think I'm a good athlete relative to, you know, non-basketball players. But
see, everyone here in this room?
But when you're playing, you know, guys that are 6'10 and can jump, you know, to finish in there was difficult for me. I never really developed a great floater. So for me, it was getting in there, playing off 2 feet, passing, finding open players. In hindsight, you know, I probably would have worked on, you know, getting in there and looking to score more, because as I got older, you know, team's game plan around that, you know, make him score at the rim. He doesn't want to shoot. You know, stay attached to the shooters. And so, I mean, it's difficult, but, you know, ultimately I just wasn't a very good layup shooter.
And, I mean, like to his point, not a great layup shooter. Similar with myself. Is you're not really, when we're growing up, we're not really working on layups against a 6'10 guy or a super athlete. We're playing against, you know, we might be one of the bigger guys on the floor growing up playing. So you don't really have to develop that till later on. And, you know, you don't really realize that you have to develop that until you get to college, until you're playing with all those athletes.
So I was looking at the shot breakdown about when you guys get a shot off. And between the 10 and 20 second mark is when the vast majority of your shots as a team come off, and actually where your 3-point percentage is at its best. Is there an urgency for you guys in a possession, outside of obviously when you're in trans, but when you're coming up off a make, is there an urgency for you guys to score? Is that part of the plan?
Yeah, so we call that answer back. You know, it's a thing that we do every day in practice. You know, they score, whoever's the closest guy, take it out, pass it, get up the floor as quickly as you can, hit the guy ahead. You know, we like to do early screens, you know, near half court to kind of get the guy loose and get the man down to the paint. And, you know, early threes in transition are great because, you know, they're not back, they're not matched up, even if they do make a shot.
This is for both of you, because today there's a couple times I saw that you got caught on, you guys were rotating and you got manned up with Golden, right? As a guard, when you're got a big, right, and you know you're in a mismatch, what are some things that you can do to kind of help make sure that you're being the best defender that you can in those situations?
Well, I mean, first, I think Tyler has a lot of this, and I think it was the way I played. It was, you know, you have to fight and you have to be physical as much as possible. And, you know, guarding bigger, stronger guys never really bothered me, because you get low, you get into their knees and you take them out that way. You use your size to your advantage. So that stuff never really affected me much. I think is if you have a certain mindset about you, that you're not going to be, you know, kind of punked. And I know Tyler has that. You know, he's a tough kid. That, you know, ultimately you might get scored on a couple times because you're not as big. But at the end of the day, you're gonna compete and you're gonna make it hard on those guys. And you know, that I took pride in being able to, if someone thought they were gonna overpower me, taking pride in not allowing them to feel like it was going to be easy.
It definitely is a pride thing, like he was saying. I mean, I would actually rather guard, you know, a big 6'8 wing, kind of like a Justin or like a kid the Hodges today, rather than, you know, a super, super quick jet point guard. Because, you know, those dudes, you're way out on the floor, kind of on an island by yourself. But if you get down there in the post, you know, you got guys helping, digging off, you know. You got the big coming at double, depending on what your game plan is. So, I mean, I almost rather guard those guys because I feel like I'm physical enough.
Well, you got that chip on your shoulder, which I love about you. There's that confidence that I think even through your tough games, I mean, listen, I know that Creighton game, right? Like, that was tough probably down the stretch there to not play down in those last 10 minutes. I know there was a lot of foul trouble. That game was a wild one. How did you get yourself up today? Because I thought today, man, you played fantastic. Like, that speaks a lot to your mental toughness.
Yeah, I mean, just having the coaching staff believe in me and, you know, never getting too high or too low, like we were talking about. The season's full of ups and downs. So, I mean, I had, you know, a stretch of better games leading up to that game, then kind of goes down. My least minutes I played in college was that game. So you can't get too high, can't get too low. And, you know, I just kind of try and stay even keeled the whole time.
All right, Travis, you don't have to answer this, Tyler. All right, so this is for Travis. You know, right now, we got this from Paint Touches, but in Big East play, Marquette basketball has had 284 fouls to our opponents who've had 211. I've watched a lot of Big East basketball, and I just feel like the roughing has been hot garbage across the league. This isn't, I think, what's going to change winning or losing, and I'm not complaining that we lose games, but I don't know. Are you seeing that? Is it just me being a fan and getting pissed off at stuff I can't control?
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe a little bit. I mean, obviously, when you're watching Marquette, you or any team that you're a fan of, you always think your team is getting screwed a little bit. Do I think officials are really good? No. I've never been a fan of officials, but and there's certain guys that have a reputation of being pretty shitty. And I tweeted one the other night that had nothing to do with the Marquette game. I was watching a different Big East game, and I just think the inconsistency is what bothers me. Like, you can be bad, but be bad both ways, or give the opportunity for players and coaches to actually talk to you and communicate with you, like to explain what they're seeing, because you know players are out there playing, coaches are seeing certain things. I just think there's an arrogance about certain officials, not all of them, but there's certain officials, like you can't even say a word to them, and then if you do, like they're out to get you, then you have no chance. So I just think it's, unfortunately, there's just a lot of inconsistencies in the way they act and the way they treat people, instead of being like, you can be bad, fine, but just be bad both ways.
For you, when, you know, some of these games, and we talked a little bit before the show about sort of some of the differences in one games where they're calling everything and everything they're not. How do you adjust your game based on how the refs are calling it?
Yeah, you kind of just got to feel out the flow of the game. You know, some refs like to call, you know, the tic-tac stuff early, so then it kind of tightens the game up, and you're not playing it as, you know, handsy or as aggressive early on. So it's almost easier for them to ref that way, because then, you know, you're not trying to foul and everything like that. But, you know, you just got to feel out the flow of the game, feel out the refs. Like, I'm playing in the Big East now. There's different refs than there was last year. You know, I'll have a lot of the refs do one league throughout the whole year. They'll do non-conference games, then they'll do, you know, one conference throughout the whole year. So you can build a good relationship with the refs. And to his point, you know, you want the refs to talk to you. You want them to, you know, give you a back and forth, tell you kind of what you're doing wrong, what you're doing right, so, you know, you can correct it during the game. So
I want to talk about today's game. Stevie Mitchell had, I thought, a super important game for him. You can tell sometimes on offense he's still trying to find himself and get some confidence, but he had a great basket at the hoop, and he took a three, because there's times where I'm yelling at Steve. I'm like, dude, just take the shot. He's got it. Tonight he took it. He saw it, and I saw you explode off the bench. What's it mean for all of you guys to see Stevie start to step up? Because I think you need him in that Big East champion, in that Big East tournament.
Yeah, I mean, he gives us a lot of energy off the bench. You know, he doesn't get all the minutes in the world, but, you know, when he comes in, he plays super hard, super aggressive. So, you know, his energy kind of just reflects off the whole team. You know, when he does well, then that gets us up for him. You know, we like to see him doing well. We like to see everybody doing well. So it was good for him today.
Travis, Justin Lewis has had a rough two games, just statistically. He struggled a little bit. But God damn it, I loved it down the last 5 minutes of the game. He shook off the last, you know, 50 minutes of game where he has really struggled. I am really impressed with his mental toughness. What has impressed you most about Justin Lewis this year?
Well, I mean, he's taken the next step. I mean, he's obviously been one of the best players in the Big East. I mean, he's up there for, you know, probably Big East Player of the Year, one of the top two or three guys. I thought today he was, if I'm being honest, pretty shitty the first, you know, 30 minutes. But then, like, you know, like you said, the maturity when push came to shove, like they needed baskets. He stopped settling. He was attacking the hoop, offensive rebound, tip dunk, and one driving to the hoop. But I just, for the first 30 minutes, I didn't think the energy was there from him. And as a, he's still a young guy, which, you know, he's a lot, but this is a guy that obviously Tyler and the rest of the guys look to in those moments to score the basketball. So I thought, you know, the last 10 minutes he was that guy again, and he made huge plays. And ultimately, those were game changers. I thought, to your point, Stevie Mitchell changed the whole momentum of the game with his energy. Crowd got into it. He's a guy that doesn't need to score to impact the game. Great defensive player. I think he's all in for the team. Like, it doesn't matter if he scores. I thought his energy was infectious. I thought that helped you know, Marquette, you know, get the job done today.
I love his chop step on defense. Like, he has some of the best feet on defense and works so hard on and off the ball. I'm with you. I thought he changed the game, but I'd actually throw Joplin in there. Had some really big shots today too, and I know he's been having some hard times on the defensive side of the side of the ball. But with Joplin and Stevie, you know, really giving you guys the depth I think you need to make a run. Travis, do you think these guys can win the Big East tournament?
Well, yeah. I think it's. They've proven that over the course of the season they can. I mean, the best teams in the Big East are, you know, Providence, who we beat by 30 at home, Villanova, who we swept. So if you're looking at who potentially we're gonna face in the tournament, yeah. I mean, Marquette is right up there. I mean, we have as good a chance as anybody, I believe. I think right now we got to figure out, you know, the last few weeks defensively it's kind of slid a little bit, which kind of that's where we're going to have to hold our hat on, because we are long, we're athletic, we play hard. But, you know, Big East tournament, you're going to play 3 games in 4 days. You know, so guys like Stevie, Joplin, like, you're going to need performances from the bench because those minutes add up. But Marquette has as good a chance as anybody, you know, first off, to win the Big East tournament, but, you know, ultimately, you know, win some games in the tournament, because that's the best time in college basketball is playing in the tournament.
He's got a lot of experience with that.
Absolutely.
Not as much as I like.
So one thing Travis said that I want to bounce off you, I do think the defense has struggled a little bit over the last couple of games. I think closeouts have been a little slow. I saw in this game, the rotations were definitely getting better. What have you guys been focusing in on practice? Where have you guys sort of identified the problem, and what are you doing to try to resolve it?
Yeah, one point of emphasis for this game. You know, last time we played Butler, they got a lot of baseline drives. They got to the other side of the hoop to really play to the next side and make the next play. So a big point of emphasis for us in practice this week was, you know, the help side defender that's under the hoop on the weak side, coming over, stopping the ball outside the paint, not letting them cross underneath the hoop to get to the other side and make the next play. So that was a big point of emphasis this game. And, you know, one thing I felt like, you know, Kerr's presence, I feel like he was blocking a lot of shots early on in the year. And, you know, I feel like he could have won Defensive Player of the Year the way he was playing earlier on in the year. You know, he hasn't really been blocking shots as of late. He hasn't really been active. So, I mean, we just got to get him going. I feel like he's the key to everything we try and do.
Well, and that's why I think it's so important we have Oso and Kerr playing well. I think those two, when they're playing in unison together, it changes the way that we defend the hoop, because that's definitely been something that's been a struggle for us over the last couple games. What are you seeing about the way Marquette's been defending that's different over this last stretch of games yourself, Travis?
Yeah, I mean, I think Tyler hit it pretty good. I think individually they have a lot of guys that can guard. I mean, Kerr is arguably one of the best shot blockers that Marquette has ever seen, and he can cover up a lot of mistakes. Daryl Morcel obviously is a guy that's proven it at a high level for a number of years, and I think collectively, like, you know, it's a long season, so guys maybe get tired. Obviously, defense isn't fun; it's not glorified. I think Justin can do a better job, but, you know, you're asking Justin to get, you know, 15, 16 points a game. Offensively, I think Tyler battles defensively. I think I think all those guys, but, you know, you're playing Cam and Greg, who aren't probably the greatest defensive players. So I think, like, with the rotations, you're seeing defense slip because you're trying to find offense when naturally maybe Omax isn't playing as much lately, and he's probably a better defender than Cam and Greg, but you're substituting that for the offense that Cam and Greg break. So it's all intertwined with how you're doing. But I thought in the last 25 minutes tonight, defense was pretty good. I mean, he gave up, I don't know how many points, 60 points tonight. I mean, that's overall, it's a pretty good defensive effort.
Yeah, I think they got to 24, 25, and then they were kind of stymied after that. That was when we were down 9, and then, you know, we caught up, kind of tied the game, and kept them around 30 for the first half. So I felt like after that, maybe the first 15 minutes, you know, that was when we really stepped it up on defense today.
Well, no, and you're right. In the beginning of the game, they were 10 for 12 in the first half, and in the last 10 minutes, they were 1 for 14. So you guys, it came out of a timeout. Was there something you adjusted?
Yeah, coach was just saying, you know, we have to make them miss. We can't just hope that they're missing. And And that's a big thing with us. I mean, we really got to, you know, lock down. And like he said, we do got a lot of offensive guys out there, offensive-minded guys, coach likes to say. So, I mean, we just got to get them just as focused on defense as they are on offense, and I think we'll be in good shape.
Let's stay on defense. Last time we talked, Dr. Jamal, one of my favorite parts of your game is the way you roam like a free safety off the ball. You do a fantastic job of jumping those passing lanes. For the everyday basketball fan, can you take us through sort of when you're off the ball, the checklist of responsibilities when you're on the weak side?
Yeah, I mean, that's stuff we work on every day. And, you know, I attest that too, kind of, you know, just knowing the game of basketball. You got to know where you're supposed to be at any given moment off the ball. And you know, being the off-ball defender is most of the times the most important defender because, you know, you're not guarding the ball, and that's the ball is what's going to, you know, go in the hoop. That's what's going to get the points. But, you know, the weak side rotations is where, you know, the defensive breakdowns really come in. It's not so much just guarding one-on-one. So, you know, I really pride myself off the ball just to be in the right spots, get all the other guys in the right spots too.
Travis, this year this team, Marquette team, has really struggled on transition defense. They're giving up 12 points a game. It's the fifth percentile in all of college basketball. What are you seeing you think that's making it so tough for this team to stop their opponent in trans?
Well, I think collectively they do a pretty good job of taking care of the ball, which limits transition. But I think, you know, if you're sending a lot of guys to the offensive glass, naturally it's going to be hard to get everybody back. You know, the easiest thing is probably lack of communication. Obviously, I'm not in the game. I don't know what's happening or practice. But, you know, transition defense is a lack of – if you're not doing it well, it's a lack of communication, a lack of guys getting back. I know firsthand from our game in the Final Four against Kansas, who just ran us off the floor because of our lack of transition. And sometimes you can't simulate that in practice. And, you know, once you get out there, it's a major issue. But I think lack of communication and just maybe too many guys are going to the offensive glass to get back. But, you know, I'm not in there, so I don't know exactly why those numbers are the way they are.
Tyler, what do you think?
Well, yeah, so we normally have three guys go to the glass, one guy running through the elbow, and then I'm normally the one that's either through the elbow or back. But like he said, it's definitely communication. I mean, somebody's got to stop the ball and stop the ball early. You know, you'd like it around half court, probably stop the ball. And you, everybody else just has to load up according to who stops the ball. So, I mean, it is what he said, just all about communication and talk. Not just the guy who takes the ball, but everybody else on the backside, to, you know, maybe a 3-on-2 situation or you know, a 4-on-3. So you just got to talk about it and fly around.
What do you guys do to simulate the speed? Because I'm with Travis. Like, in the teams that I've coached in the past, when we knew we were playing a team that was going to run, it was so hard to get your second team to play at the speed that's of an elite team that you're going up against. How do you guys try to simulate that in practice?
Yeah, in practice, we normally have three guys start ahead, one guy with the ball next to coach, and we kind of circle around in the paint on the other side, and he throws the ball to the guard, and he just says go, and you got to sprint back and talk and fix it, you know, 5-on-5. So, you know, like that communication, we like to say, you know, our rules, basketball, ball side. So, you know, first you got to get back. If there's nobody at the basket, then you got to build your way out, stop the ball, and then ball side. You know, a lot of teams like to bring it up the same side, kick it ahead, ball side for the three. So, you know, those are kind of our three rules in transition that we like to go to.
I thought Daryl Morsell's game against Creighton was some of the best attacking of the hoop I've seen from him all year. I feel like he's really learning how to use his body, create space, and finish. When he's taking dudes off the ball like that, like, I know our offense isn't always predicated on an individual player scoring. I think we are much better when we're moving the ball around. But listen, man, there's sometimes shot clock gets to 8 and you need someone to take the ball to the hoop. What is Morsell's ability to get to the basket the way he has later? How does that make it easier for the rest of you?
Yeah, I think, you know, he's an older guy. So it kind of, when the game gets going fast and, you know, maybe the other team gets going on a run, he kind of settles us down in a sense, just getting to the basket or getting to his pull-up. I mean, like you said, again, in the Creighton game, I think he had, they went on a run. They scored, went up 3-4, and he came down, just hit a pull-up and kind of, you know, calmed down the crowd, calmed down our bench, calmed down all of our younger guys. So, you know, it's just his experience in college basketball is what really helps him.
Travis, this is a theory I've been working on, and I don't know if this is a good theory or not. I feel like some of the games, especially after we had that tough stretch, I feel like their legs have been a little down. And with the way with the offense we play, the defense that we play, if you see that when you've played those long stretches of seasons, do you feel like a lull physically sometimes that's tough to get through when you get to February here?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, not to make excuses, but yeah, I mean, naturally it is a long season, and like you said, it's a very young team. So I think, you know, part of that is, you know, trying to get right for these games that are going to come here in the future. But, you know, you're playing high-level games, you know, every night. Like, the Big East is not...
It's a grind. It's a grind.
No offense to Tyler, where he was last year, but every game you're playing... I mean, even Butler, like, this team is a lot better than people realize. So, and then now Wednesday, you're going to DePaul, who their record might not reflect it, but they're talented. They've beaten some teams. Like... The Big East, there's no nights off, so it's draining. And I know, and I know Shaka. Like, there is not a day off. Like, he's going to be on these guys. The assistants are going to be, and for an 18, 19, 20-year-old, it can be very fatiguing. And I was in it. There's no excuses, but that's reality. And you're going to have games where it's really hard to be consistent in anything you do in life when you're 18 years old. Nobody, I mean, to say you're consistent is crazy. Like, so... Like, to get on these kids for maybe having a bad game, a bad week, bad couple weeks, that's natural. But now can we get out of, like, this little rut that we're in 2 weeks from now, Big East tournament, NCAA tournament, because that's ultimately what you're going to be judged on as a coach, as a player. I mean, that's how it is. It's pretty black and white. Like, you get it done when it matters, that's how you remember.
I think that's a really important point, though, because I think a lot of fans sometimes – feel like, oh, these guys don't give a shit, they're not running hard enough, but like, that's not the case at all. I think, you know, considering your age, considering the amount of minutes, you know, even you took a guys like Stevie and Cam, like, they didn't play these kind of minutes in high school in their senior year, you know what I mean?
Well, it's not even the minutes, it's the level of competition.
True. Yeah.
Like, all these guys, like, Cam was a monster in high school, Stevie was a monster in high school, Tyler was a monster in
everybody
high
was their best player on that
so,
high school.
But now you're going against guys that are all monsters in high school too. So it's these guys care, like,
for sure,
and more so than maybe other teams in the past. Like, you watch them play, you at least feel like, even when they lose, like, that they care and that they're playing hard. Now, are they playing their best all the time? Absolutely not. Nobody does. Professionals don't. But they've represented Marquette extremely well this year. They've represented themselves. I mean, this has been a great year, and because they've had a couple weeks that haven't been great because of what the expectation that they've set for themselves, you know, it's now, yeah, expectations have risen because of how good they've been all year. And that's a good thing because in a couple weeks here, they're going to be playing some really, really meaningful basketball.
Yeah, like, expectations has vastly changed. I mean, we were picked ninth in the league. You know, I saw some stuff on Twitter early on in the year. You know, if we make the NIT tournament, that'll be a successful year. So, you know, after we went on that stretch of games where we won a few in a row, you know, it's grueling, like he was saying, just going against, just battling every night. So, I mean, we just gotta keep playing, like he said, coming into the postseason.
How big of a difference has it been from the A-10 to the Big East?
Yeah, I mean, he was saying there's no night off. I mean, you're playing maybe a Fordham or you know, a LaSalle last year when you're playing 20 minutes deep in the season, and, you know, you're winning by 20, 25 points. And you know, some guys, maybe like Stevie, like Joplin, like Omarion, will get in. Maybe they'll get 20 minutes as well. So it's kind of resting your legs and getting you ready for those bigger games. Whereas, you know, there's no blowouts in the Big East. If there is, it might be a fluke by the other team, you know. But every night's a grind.
Unless it's Georgetown. You don't have to make any comments. That's the only team. But St. John's is actually a team that I think is a really good team. They play kind of a similar style as you guys. They get up and down the court. Who do you see as a sleeper outside of Marquette in the Big East, Travis?
Well, to be honest, the conference is so deep and competitive that I wouldn't be surprised if anyone made a run in the Big East tournament. St. John's is playing better lately. I think Seton Hall is dangerous. I think he's a great coach. I think they're getting healthy. It's a crapshoot. It's one game, and it's in New York. It's in the NCAA tournament. Like, a lot of it's matchups. I think we match up better with certain teams than we do other teams. I think we match up great with Villanova. I don't think we match up great with, like, UConn. But so it's all, like, basketball is funny. It's matchup based at any level. And I wouldn't be surprised if five or six different teams have a legitimate chance to win the Big East tournament, because it's one game. I mean, it's one game, you're done.
And I mean, last year you saw Georgetown. I don't know what their record
was.
Yeah,
I take it back. Georgetown stinks.
Yeah, but last year, were they last in the league last year as well?
Yeah, but they're awful. That's the worst Big East team in the last 30 years. They suck.
They are so bad.
I have no comment
on that.
But they won. They were the last team in the Big East last year, and they won it. So, I mean, maybe even more than five or six. Somebody can get hot down the stretch and play good basketball and go win it, besides the five or six that you may think.
But, yeah, fine. We'll say 9 or 10 teams, just not Georgetown.
Yes. Totally agree. I couldn't agree more with that. Let me ask you, all right, rebounding obviously has been an issue this year. To me, I think it's a little bit of a personnel thing. You know, we were going up against guys like Sanogu, who's 260, some of the dudes on Providence. Like, I think sometimes it's a little bit of a personnel thing. But also, too, you know, sometimes we can't be good at everything as a team, right? I think there's some nights where we stand around and we're screaming at the TV, but I also think there's some other things you guys can do to kind of mitigate the rebound problem. What are you talking about in practice to improve in that area?
Yeah, we do a lot of, we call it punish the pad, where those guys stand there, coach or whoever is shooting, and you kind of got to hit the pad and go grab the ball. But, I don't think it's so much, just boxing out, and I think it's just wanting to grab the ball. I mean, the best rebounders just want to grab the ball, and that's all it is. I don't think it's anything specific. I think it's just a want to.
So you think I'm being a little soft, Travis? This isn't about personnel. Sometimes these guys just got to grit down and go get it.
Yeah, I mean, rebounding is a mentality too. Like, he's a great rebounder for his size and lack of it. Well, he's a good athlete, but lack of athleticism. I think when I played, I was a good rebounder for my size. It's a will. It's a mentality. A lot like defense. Like, you take pride in going to finish the possession. And, at times Marquette or we have struggled defensive rebounding. And I don't think it's a personnel issue. But at the end of the day, it's a want thing. It's you got to finish the possession. Because we get the rebound, we push in transition. Transition basketball, you can get good looks. That's how Shaka wants to play. It's fun basketball, but you have to finish defensive possessions to get those transition points.
And I feel like that's a little bit why our offense has struggled, because we haven't been getting out in transition just as much as we would like to. So it's kind of all half-court sets, all, set defenses. And they game plan for set defenses. The other teams that you're going against, they don't game plan for transition. So.
Well, and that's interesting, because one of my things, I think early in the year, you were really great at the pitch ahead. That's such a dangerous transition. Weapon ball travels faster than a dribbler, right? Our team's taking that away a little bit now. It seems like we're not pitching ahead quite as much.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like we were talking earlier about the answer back stuff. I mean, we haven't really done that as much down the stretch like you're saying. And guys aren't really looking because, maybe they're used to just me bringing it up, coming off a ball screen. So, maybe they're not looking as much up the floor as they were in the beginning of the year because they think what's going to happen. I don't know. We just got to get back to what we were doing, get back to transition, rebounding the ball, and, really guarding guys.
Last five games, you're shooting 41% from the arc. You're shooting over 60% from the corners. I don't know if you knew that. You've been lighting it up, man. That's a great shot.
He's got all the stats.
I got them all over here, man.
Analytic guy over here.
I'm doing what I can. The last time I saw you, you said, you were in a little bit of a lull at that time when we spoke. Anything changed in the way you practice? Or are you just grinding? Because you say at practice, man, you're smoking. Like, you're blowing everybody out of the water with how many threes you're draining.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't changed a thing from what I was doing, since the summer. Because I just trust in my work. Like we talked about that one time, just trusting in what I've been doing and believing in myself. And that was kind of the biggest thing because, these teams are guarding me completely different than how they were guarding me in the beginning of the year. Because, they got a game plan around me now because I'm making plays,
we were picking people apart early on in the year. So they had to make a change. And, I mean, like you were saying, what was it? You said 41% the last five games. I mean, I felt it a little bit, but, I mean, that's all just confidence coming in and knowing that I can make shots and, you know, getting the same shots that I've been getting this year.
Let's talk about threes. Tell me about Cam Jones's range in practice. Because, I mean, you know, in practice, you go out a little bit further. Like, is it as insane as I think it might be as we see in the games?
Yeah, so in practice, he's normally, when he wasn't starting, he was on the second five. And, you know, during practice, like he was saying, he knows Shaka. We don't have a day off in practice. We're battling five-on-five, live action, against each other the entire time. So he's kind of the guy on the other team that's the go-to guy. So they're trying to. He's trying to hunt shots, and he goes on stretches where he hits four, five, six in a row during practice, and there's really nothing you could do about it besides block the shot.
Yeah, I mean, I think that dude's gonna be hitting shots from the logo at some point. It's gonna be exciting to see that.
Yeah, he gets a little wild in the games. If he thinks he makes one shot, he thinks he's on fire. So I always tell him, like the other game, I think he had 17 in the first half. I forget what game that was. He came in and made one, and then I just told him after he made that one, keep shooting good ones because then you can stay hot. Whereas if you take maybe a bad one, you know, logo three, and you miss it, you're not as hot anymore. So.
Travis, I got to ask you this question because I asked it of Tyler last time. They play a lot of one-on-one, and they play a tournament. And this guy here says he's winning. Like, one-on-one tournament, make it, take it. He's taking it home. Back to the Final Four team. If you guys had a one-on-one tournament, make it, take it, who's winning it? For those at home, he's thinking about it.
Well, yeah, I mean probably Dwayne. I mean, I would probably bet on myself, but, I mean, obviously there's a limited amount of dribbles, and Dwayne wasn't a great shooter back then, so I would have bet on myself, but, Dwayne, he's NBA Hall of Famer, right? I mean,
yeah, but you know, one-on-one's a different game when you got make it, take it. When you guys got guys who can make it.
It's two or three dribbles, probably. Yeah, you have to be creative. You got to be able to shoot. I think I would. I like my chances. Yeah, I mean, I'd bust his ass.
Is that true? We had a one-on-one match.
Maybe not anymore. I got a couple years left.
We haven't had a one-on-one. We played five-on-five a lot in the summer. We were normally on the same team, but then, you know, towards the end of the summer, we wanted to give the guys the other chance, so then they put me on the other team. They would bust our ass. Those old dudes, man, they still got it.
They know how to play the game.
Well, when you get older, you just know how to play. You know how to use your body. You're stronger. You're slower, which is good. You know, you just understand the angles. Like, young guys, not really Tyler, but younger guys try to play super fast all the time. That's not really, I mean, it's all about pace, you know, reading angles, attacking closeouts. It's a very, like, I'm a lot better now at 40 than I was when I was 20. I mean, not athletically, but from a mindset, from the way I move, like, I can take advantage of, you know, the defense better.
Yeah, when we were playing pickup, our guys are just trying to go one-on-one the whole time, just trying, you know, you're not going to beat them because they're moving the ball, they're, you know, finding the open man every single time, and, you know, you miss two, three shots, the game's going to be over because he's not missing, Joe Chapman's not missing, they got a few other guys that play with them, so, I mean, it was crazy to watch.
Next time you guys have one of those, I need to do a live podcast just to watch that because that sounds like a blast.
We got to play one-on-one still.
What about one-on-one? We got to make this happen.
Post them up,
I've never been a one-on-one guy. I need teammates.
Hey, well, listen, it sounds like this is a match already. Get in the gym this summer. I'm sure you could teach the man a few things. A couple of one-on-one games, he might give you a couple of moves,
I
got to
learn a thing or
man.
Two from him first before we can play one-on-one.
No, I won't play him one-on-one, but I'll try to help him. He's got a bright future. I see a lot of myself in him and the way he competes, his passion, the way he can pass the ball. He seems like a guy that all his teammates want to play with because he is willing to – play unselfish, doesn't care if he scores 2 points or 20 points, and ultimately that's, from a point guard, that's what you need. You don't need your point guard shooting 25 times a game. He can shoot, he can make shots, something needs to get, can continue to develop, but the future is bright with not only him, but, you know, we've seen it this year. It's been a fun year.
Absolutely. All right, I'm going to get you out. I've got a little thing here. Point guard corner. I've got a few questions, quick hitters, to get you out of here. What was the most important lesson any coach has taught you as a point guard?
I mean, I've been very fortunate. I was, you know, I had a basketball when I was really young from my parents. My father, my uncles coached me in high school. So just like being so fundamental, like never making mistakes. I always took pride in, you know, assist to turnover ratio, not turning the ball over, not being too crazy, not too fancy. You know, never leaving your feet, just minor things. But I've
some
always
things
took,
I did today, leave my feet.
You do. I think as you go, though, you can leave your feet and still make the right play. But, like, I've been very fortunate. I've been around great coaches, great family. They've taught me, you know, how the right way to play basketball. Like, that's very important. Guys right now, not right now, all the time, don't understand the intricacies of how to play the game. He gets it. That's why he'll have success. That's why he'll have teammates that love playing with him. I think most of my teammates, for the most part, have liked playing with me until I get on them a little bit. But I think ultimately when, you know, you care as much as anybody else, they know you're credible. And that's the lesson that, you know, basketball has taught me.
Yeah, and I feel like for me, it's just, you know, knowing the game so well to an extreme where, you know what's going to happen the next play. You see it ahead of time. And, you know, you can see what your guys are doing as well. You know, you kind of got to know who you're playing with and their tendencies. I mean, I know Justin, he likes to catch the ball on the run, get down to his right hand. We ran one play. He came off, you know, Daryl downscreen for him. He came off the curl, get down to his right hand. But, you know, you kind of got to throw it to guys in the spots that you know that they can be successful. You can't put them in bad spots as the point guard. So the whole team's successful. So,
the toughest job as a point guard?
Well, I mean, the toughest job is being a leader. Like, you're an extension of the coach, and ultimately, you know, I know personally I got judged probably harder than a lot of other guys because I was the extension of the coach. He's getting judged for sure by coaches. I mean, I'm sure Shaka's harder on him than anybody else. But that's the responsibility of even a point guard. Like, you are the quarterback. You're the leader. Like, things are going south. Your teammates are looking to you for direction, for leadership. So I think the hardest part is being tough, being confident. Like, hey, it's no secret he has had some struggles shooting the ball this year. I'm sure it's affected his confidence. I've had times in my career where I've missed some shots, and ultimately that's not how he's judged. He's judged on being a leader, getting other people involved, and that's how I took being a point guard. Like, I can go 0-for-10, but I can still impact the game in a positive way by my leadership, my passing ability, my competitiveness. And so that's what I've always felt is the toughest thing is staying consistently positive as much as I can in a leadership standpoint.
And that's the thing. You kind of got to be an everyday guy as the point guard. I mean, some guys come into practice and they're just there to get through it, you know. You can't be the guy that's there to just get through it because, you know, coaches, like he was saying, coach is on me the most because he knows I can take it, so he wants the other guys to kind of, you know, see that he needs to be able to get on you to get the best out of you. So, you know, I got to be consistent every single day in practice, every single day in the game. And you know, I've grown in that. I wasn't always like that. I mean, last year I was a freshman at my old school. I was kind of hiding that practice. I mean, I was just trying to get through. And, you know, this year, similar things. I mean, as you grow up, you got to learn that, you know, you are the point guard. You got to be the guy that's giving energy to the coach and all your teammates as well.
All right, last question. If you can steal one move from any NBA guard, what would you take? I think Space Jam, you know what I mean? We collect them all. What's the one move you would take? You already seem to know.
I just like to be able to jump and dunk on somebody. That's all right. That's about everybody in the NBA. But
I take John Morant's, yeah, jumping ability. Yeah, I mean, I don't know about a move, but, I mean, I'd love to.
Give me some athleticism. We'd like to see what we do
like
with some athleticism.
One time, yeah. No, I mean.
Gentlemen, this has been an absolute blast. I cannot thank you more. Thank you so much, everyone, at Uncle Bucks. Let's give it a hand for these two gentlemen.
If you don't listen to the podcast, you need to. You can follow us on Twitter at The Golden Break. We have fantastic guests like these guys. Thank you so much for coming out. We out.